super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who stuffed your girlfriend's turkey, 42nd Street Pete.
Well, belated happy Thanksgiving, because we obviously didn't do anything on Thanksgiving but eat, drink, and now I'm fucking hungover. And we're joined by Griff from More Horror Than Horror, because he had nothing better to do tonight, and Tim ran away for some strange reason. I think it was after the Jamie Lee Curtis thing when he actually exposed himself to her online. And I know the police in Indianapolis looking for him. Was it Indianapolis or Indiana? I don't know. Some fucking where out there.
I think it was in Indianapolis.
No. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm thinking of something else. Everything begins with an I out there. Indianapolis, Illinois, Indiana.
Inbred,
you know.
Incest.
I could go off on that. You know, I think, you know, while most of us were, you know, well, I'm not Black Friday shopping, and obviously you aren't, but I think a lot of the Dead Pit crew was sifting through Wes's turds from yesterday to see if any household objects had gotten swallowed. So, yeah. What a way to spend Friday. But I got to address some of the fallout. Obviously, we were on last week because Todd was sick, and truthfully, you know, we had planned to do something, you know, fucked up about, you know, the Jamie Lee Curtis thing, but I don't, obviously, and you might agree with me, Griffin, I don't think we could actually top the last thing we did. So, you know, it's hard to top. Yeah.
I don't think it would be too hard to do that.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody loved that episode, but it's like that was all spontaneous and shit like that. We were building up to this, but, you know, something, just the overall backstories and bullshit that went on pretty much, you know, were a joke themselves because, and I'm not saying this to bash anybody. I'm really not. I'm getting accused of this shit. I started that Facebook page simply so fans could vent their spleens about what was going on. And, you know, we all know a lot of it was bullshit, but I don't even think, from what I understand, that show drew over 900 people in 3 days. I also understand that the $80 voucher didn't get you a picture, only an autograph, so we had to buy a picture for $10 too. So every story that came back out of that show was nightmarish, except for, of course, Dead Pit Radio was the greatest thing on earth. It was the best show he's ever been to, probably because every pizza he ordered got into his room under 30 minutes. So obviously it was the best show. I stole that from Brad, by the way. So, but, you know, it's just a shame that it had to go down that road, and supposedly, you know, I've been contacted by a couple of people about, you know, basically being a dick about it, and I says, well, I'm just saying what everybody else was saying. I says, you know, and I have no affiliation with Days of the Dead. I know the promoter that runs it, you know, through meeting him at Wasteland and online and stuff. We've had conversations. We've had him on this show, and, you know, other guys are involved with that, and they've always treated me right, and, you know, well, somebody goes, well, if they do something fucked up, you're going to say something about that too? And I says, yeah, I will. They go, well, what about if somebody bashes Wasteland? You're going to delete them? I said, I ain't deleting anything off that fucking page, even personal attacks against me. Because there's some latest douchebag. Griff, you're going to love this one. He's bashing me. He's bashing the East Coast Horror Group. But yet, if you go to see what he's saying, you're blocked. And then Ed Demko tried to see what he was saying in Ed's block. So this guy basically went on some fucking tirade against me and everybody else and then blocked us so he can't read his shit. I mean, you know, duh. Short bus stops there, too.
Nothing amazes me.
No.
On Facebook. To me, Facebook has just become a complete educational tool for various DVD companies just so I can track, you know, release dates and product announcements and stuff, you know, because, I mean, half the people that I have on my friends list, I probably get maybe 1% of what anybody actually says as knowledgeable information.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. It's just scary.
No, from what I understand, this latest basher, I'm not going to mention his name because, you know, every time you mention these guys' names, it just fuels them to do more shit. There's some people I really don't mind fucking rattling their cage because they're such douchebags, but I'm not going to encourage this other one because basically the story I heard was that he was with Days of the Dead. He did a Texas Chainsaw Massacre panel, pretty much didn't watch the film or know anything about it before he did the panel and completely looked like an asshole. So now it's Days of the Dead's fault. Don't forget, when you fail, it's never your fault. It's always somebody else's fault, especially in this business. Oh, and on a sad note, I just heard Deborah Raffin died, I think, today.
I think it was yesterday, wasn't it?
Well, whatever, you know. Yeah, I don't know what the deal was. She was, like, supposedly 59. I don't think she was doing anything, though. I remember she had done one of the Death Wish things, and...
I think she... Didn't she have leukemia or something, didn't she?
Yeah, it's possible.
It was like she was diagnosed with it last year and died. It was like a one-year thing. Or I think that's what her sister announced or something.
It's a shame. It really is. But I was coming up with something. You'd probably be interested in this. About great films we never saw. And what made me come up with this was I was thinking back... going back, I used to cut school a lot in high school, like in the '60s, and you know, especially the '60s. I was like 68, 67, 68, 69, 70. That was like it. So I used to really cut school and wind up at a grindhouse, and didn't really give a fuck what I saw as long as I wasn't in school. But I remember a movie in 67 called The Corrupt Ones, and I don't know whether it was on the top or the bottom of a double bill. You know, sometimes these things ran, but, you know, this was one of those things that was a French-German-English co-production released by Warner Brothers. So it's really hard to say whether I saw it when it, I don't remember back that far. It's all a problem. It, you know, whether it got to push or was on the bottom. But be that as it may, it was, you know, it was the only thing I remembered from that double bill. And it was pretty cool. You know, it was Robert Stack, you know, from The Untouchables, Elkie Summer, Nancy Kwan, Werner Peters, and Christian Marquand. And the whole thing, the premise of the whole thing was it was set in Macau, supposedly the deadliest city in the world. I don't think anybody ever told the people who lived there it was the deadliest city in the world. But it opens up with this fight on a moving train, and this guy kills this other guy and grabs a medallion off him. And that was also the alternate title of the film, The Peking Medallion. And this medallion is supposed to be instrumental in leading somebody to a treasure. So Robert Stack's playing some kind of spy. He gets chased by somebody, gets picked up by the guy who stole the medallion. And, you know, there's this whole hunt for the medallion involving the triad, local organized crime, the police. And it's got some nifty grindhouse shit, like a guy getting blowtorched to death, acid getting dripped on a face, all kinds of sword and torture and shit. And it ends up in Red China. The whole see the thing is, you know, the sad part is you're not going to find this thing around. It's never been released again except on VHS tape. You see a couple on eBay for like $30, and if they're clear, they're probably worth it. But you know, it was just one of those films that was just so cool because there was all kinds of crap going on, and you know, the characters, you know, made it interesting because of course Robert Stack, you know, always comes across as a tough douchebag, and you know, he did all the Untouchables. He was in Uncommon Valor or Caddyshack 2. I think he was the voice in Beavis and Butthead to America of the FBI guy. So he had passed away at age 84, I believe. And then, of course, Elkie Summer was, you know, Todd will identify with this, another, you know, Uschi Dygaard type of chick that did a lot of movies, a lot of Bava stuff, including Baron Blood, Lisa and the Devil, Deadlier Than the Male, The Invincible Six. And, you know, she was the heroine in this. Nancy Kwan, ironically, was the villainess. She was the head of the triad. And, you know, she had started out in World of Susie Wong and the Flower Drum Song, but then she started doing a bunch of grindhousey things like Project Kill, Wonder Women with Sid Haig, Walking the Edge with Robert Forrester. I believe she was also in the... Well, Elkie Summer was in The Wrecking Crew. I'm trying to remember. It was the two of them, you know, were both in this thing. And then Werner Peters, German actor who was in that another grindhouse-type classic, Dog Eat Dog, with Cameron Mitchell and Jane Mansfield. Also, Argento's Bird with the Crystal Plumage, Battle of the Bulge, 36 Hours. He passed away in 71 at age 52. He was the local cop in this one, you know, every shaking everybody down. And he wanted a piece of the whole thing. And Christian Marquand was a matinee idol in France and on the continent. He passed away in the year 2000 at 73. Made 62 movies, you know, probably none of them released here because they're all in French. Was directing a bunch of stuff. He was actually in Apocalypse Now, the original Flight of the Phoenix in 65 and The Longest Day. And, you know, it's just wild how this thing was almost like an Indiana Jones type thing, you know, on a real low budget, which really, really worked because of the people that were in it. You know, pretty much A-list actors. And, you know, then it winds up bouncing around 42nd Street in the grindhouses on the bottom of a double bill, which is probably where I saw it. And here's another one that probably not too many people ever heard of, Mr. No Legs. In 1979, I think it's the only film that was directed by Rico Browning, the original Creature from the Black Lagoon. And it had, cast of characters, of course, Richard Jekyll is good in anything. Joey Chitwood, if you don't know that name, he used to run this auto thrill show down in Florida. Ron Howard's father, Rance, and John Agar. And a wrestler called Ron Slinker was actually third billed in this. And the guy who played Mr. No Legs was Ted Volrath. Not too much information out on this thing. I guess it was a guy who was blowing the mob away in, you know, a motorized wheelchair or a rigged-up wheelchair. Griff, didn't we see this movie on somebody's site somewhere?
There was a couple of people looking for the VHS copy on a couple of the VHS sites on Facebook. And I've seen the poster somewhere. Somebody had the poster up or had a poster for sale for it.
I got the poster. I just bought it.
I know there was a couple of people looking for it on the guy that runs Synapse Films was looking for a copy of it, I think.
Oh, Don May?
Yeah, I think he was one of the people that was looking for a copy.
Oh, VHS copy of it?
I just think he was just looking for a copy in general. I don't think he was cared what format it came in. I think he was just inquiring about it, and everybody was mentioned in that they had it on VHS or something.
Yeah, it's not that easy to find. One of those real hard ones.
I've seen the poster a couple of times. I think you can get a reprint of the poster or something on Amazon fairly cheap. So.
I just got an original.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I just got that. I bought it with something else. That and I Hate My Body. I forget what I paid for, but I got a pretty good deal on them. On the auctions. Yeah.
What was that? Me and Tim seen this movie. I can't remember the name of it, but we seen it at the Screenland earlier in the year. It was like a trans sexual movie. It was like a documentary type deal where it's like,
oh, let me Die a Woman.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that was that's a Synapse one. Somebody goes, oh, look at this, it'll make you puke, and I'm like, no, it won't.
Yeah,
nah, it won't. I remember getting sucked into seeing that. I'm like, what could this possibly be about? Then when I'm in it, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, but I mean, know anything you haven't seen a million times before. We went and seen it. There was people, that was the first movie. It was an all-day thing. It started at like noon and went to like midnight. And it was free to get in, but you had to pay to leave. So the earlier you left in the day, the more you had to pay. Like if you only sat through 15 minutes, you had to pay like 50 or 60 bucks to leave.
Oh,
and
shit.
If you stayed all the way till the end, you know, you got to see all these movies for free. And that was what they showed first at like 12 o'clock in the morning, you know, at noon. So you can imagine we walk in there after eating lunch or whatever. And that's the first thing that we watch. And we're just sitting there shaking our heads. And people actually got up and walked out. I was just shaking my head like, really? You're going to leave after this? I mean, this ain't nothing.
Yeah, like I said, you never know what's going to pop up. Here's a couple other ones. Kill a Dragon in 67 was Jack Palance, Aldo Rey, and Fernando Lamas on some island trying to smuggle nitroglycerin off so they could give the villagers the money.
Right.
And then there was a Battle of the Commandos in 69, directed by Umberto Lenzi before he turned to cannibalism. And that had a pretty, good cast. I mean, Kurt Jurgens, Jack Palance, Thomas Hunter, Robert Hundor, a.k.a. Claudio Udari, Aldo Sambro, and Diana Loris. I remember they used to run out on TV late at night, too. I don't know if it ever came out on a DVD or nothing. It was out on a hard box Amaray thing for a while. But that was one of those little weird things. You'd just be on the bottom of something. Dirty Dozen in Battle of the Commandos, because it's almost the same thing on a re-release.
There's just so many great movies like that. I mean, I'm not really a big... I mean, I'll watch movies from those genres and stuff. I'm more of a horror or sci-fi person, but there's just so many great titles, so many great movies out there that so many people haven't seen. You know, just small pieces. It's just like the Animal Run Amok stuff that I've been watching lately. I mean, just... You know, it's like Killer Crocodile and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, or Shockma and all that. It's just so many great movies. I mean, they're just, they're turds. I mean, there's no way around it. But, I mean, they got some good quality, some good points and stuff to it, and they're making the best of what they've got. And it's entertaining,
Oh, yeah.
It's far more entertaining than shit like that Bigfoot Lost Coast Tapes thing that I watched earlier today. Fuck's sake. You want to talk about depressing.
Yeah, and I can't watch any of that shit. There was another one in 66, Bang You're Dead, with Tony Randall, Senta Berger, she was hot, Terry Thomas, Herbert Lahm, and Klaus Kinski. And that was shot in Morocco. You know what it is? They had a lot of Bond knockoffs back then. Because, you think they cannibalized all them zombie movies and shit like that, or them copycat zombie movies? I think the spy movies were worse back in the 60s. They had a ton of fucking shit, man. You know, this one was supposed to be a comedy, and it was spy and heist movies like Grand Slam. You can get that one, Blue Underground. That's the name of this alarm system that these guys have to bypass to get like $10 million in diamonds. And it's like Edward G. Robinson's in the lead with Janet Leigh, and Kinski's in it too. And that was another one that used to just pop up. And this one I can remember seeing. What sucks is, the studios are sitting on this shit. They're putting all this archive shit out where they're whacking people like $30 a hit to get this stuff.
Right.
And, if you fucking put it out for $10, people would buy it.
Yep.
Yeah. This one was the second best secret agent in the whole wide world. 65. This was, probably right after, like, Dr. No and those ones. And his big thing was he had a Mauser broom handle. And this thing was pretty good. Tom Adams was a lead. It was Charles Vine, spy. So, yeah, you had a lot of that stuff. A lot of it, indeed. What were you going to say?
Oh, I wasn't saying nothing. Well, I was just going to make the point. Well, it's... You can find it for $10 if you know the right people that have copies of those movies.
Yeah,
you don't have to pay the $30 for the archived versions.
Yeah, there's a couple guys on eBay that say, because I was Googling Young Fury because I figured, I got one copy off somebody else. I mean, it's really fucking bad. I don't know where this guy took it off. But I like to get a halfway decent copy of that because that's one of those movies I saw once and I actually remembered it from when I was a kid. I only saw it once. I had a kiddie matinee.
Right.
So I was sort of like a Young Guns type deal. Pretty violent for the time. Somebody else is advertising. He's got a whole bunch of shit. It's mostly Westerns. He even puts up the thing where he verifies they are public domain that he can sell them.
Right.
So... I think it's just foolish because there's a market for everything, and it's just, even if you did it on demand, what the fuck is it to have a master and just, okay, fine, why, $10? We know what a fucking blank cost.
Right. Yeah, corporate greed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Really. Very much so. Another thing I was, I've been reading a lot, and... Back in, I don't know, had to be back in the 70s, I think. I had picked up this book by a guy called Richard Lehman. and it was called The Woods Are Dark. And it was pretty hardcore for its time. It was basically about this town full of people that when out-of-towners came in, they'd make sure their car broke down and they'd abduct them and feed them to these people that lived in the woods called the Krulls. And this guy shied away from nothing. I mean, you know, rape, murder, the whole bit, you know, graphic detail, graphic violence and everything. The weird part was this book was put out by Warner Communications. And like Jack Ketchum's Off Season, they were sort of taken aback by certain aspects of it. So without even telling him, they edited it and they put in a bunch of other stuff that basically I just picked up the restored version because he passed away, I believe, in 2001 or something like that. And it's a whole different book, but it's still, you know, hardcore violence, you know, chicks getting dragged into the, you know, the bushes and raped by, you know, these savages and shit.
Right.
Pretty nuts. Even Jack Ketchum said, you know, it gives him the creeps, you know, sometimes. He put the guy over as really good. Trying to think, I hear my dog in the background. Yeah, he passed away in 2001. Sad part is, you know, he's written over 30 books, and those 30 books have been, you know, published all over the world, and he's only started to hit it over here, and you know, unfortunately, it was almost right before he died was he getting the recognition over here he deserved, because he don't shy away from nothing.
Right.
And I was talking about, I guess you'd call it the Beast House Trilogy, he came up with. Can you hear my fucking dog in the background?
I can hear it.
I should shut up now. Shut up!
It's atmosphere.
Yeah, I know. If she was howling, it would work. So getting back to this, he wrote a book called The Cellar. And it was about this house that a whole bunch of murders were committed in by these beasts that tore their victims apart and raped the women and then killed them and all this other crazy violent fucking shit. Well, it became a whole trilogy because it seems that once a woman is with one of these beasts, that's all she wants because they're that good. But any man, woman, or, you know, child or anything that gets in the way gets like shredded to shit. So it's interesting because the victim in the first book becomes the antagonist in the second book, then becomes the hero in the third book. And I think it probably would have continued because they left it wide open, except he passed away. But, you know, the trilogy is The Cellar, the Beast House, then The Midnight Tour. And, like, shit comes out of left field, and it's like, you know, not for the faint-hearted at all. This ain't like Stephen King stuff. I mean, you know, he'll build up a character where you really, really like them, and all of a sudden they're fucking hamburger. And the guy's like, he's really diverse in the way he writes. He just takes a whole bunch of different subjects, like this one called Flesh is about this group of educated killers who just randomly pick a family, go in and wipe them out, skin them, dismember them, do all kinds of fucked up shit to them, then take off. Well, unfortunately, their latest thing leaves a survivor, some little girl. And it's like the whole deal about trying, you know, they're trying to track her down and kill her because she's, you know, the loose end that they can't have unravel.
Right.
And these aren't like short books. These are like, you know, 300-400 page books. And he did another one called Savage where it's a kid who runs into Jack the Ripper. And Jack the Ripper rides out into the wild, wild west of America. And it's about the whole story about this kid tracking him down to kill him because he killed a whole bunch of other fucking people over here. There's, like I said, he's done about 30 books. I've just been like chewing these things up and spitting them out because they're that good. He's got some vampire stuff. There's one I'm reading now called Black Rain. It's like this fucking rain's making people go crazy and kill each other. And he don't shy away from any of this fucked up shit.
What's his name again?
Richard Layman. Yeah. I don't know if they got a list of... Let's see. Trying to see if I can find anything on here. I got to scroll down. But I'm trying to think it was about... There's a website, Richard Layman Kills.
Well, sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I got the bibliography on them. Yeah, it's got the whole... He's done 45 books, little novellas and things like that.
Is that last name Layman?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can pull it up on Amazon. Looks like you can pull up everything that he's got out.
Yeah, some stuff, it doesn't really go out of print, but the ones I can recommend are like The Beast House, The Cellar, Dark Mountain's good. That's one I just read a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you can get The Cellar on Amazon for a penny used, it looks like.
It's well worth it.
And it's got everything. Pete, honestly, there's not, you can get probably, it looks like, well, all except for Funland. For some reason, Funland's 29 used, 89 new. But it looks like about 99% of the titles that I'm looking at right now, you can get for under $8 used on Amazon.
That's not bad. I pick them up in half price books for like $4 a piece because they list for $8.
Right.
Whoever thought a paperback book would be $8? Fucking insane.
Thanks to places like Half Price Books.
No, I mean, I'm it's weird because I read this other guy. Well, right now all they're doing is Westerns because he passed away, and it's like people finishing the manuscripts. But I'm getting a feeling it's a couple writers working together because they're popping out 2-3 books a month, and they're like, now they're $7.99, but if you get them in Walmart, they're like $6. So. But
but you can get all of them also for like Kindle editions too. So if anybody's got the Kindle thing and they're into reading that way, they get them for like $6 a piece on the Kindle editions.
Yeah, they're really worth it. I mean, they're not short. It's like, you know, he comes up with characters that you give a shit about and characters that you fucking despise because some of these guys are like complete fucking scumbags, the villains. And the whole Beast thing, it's like an entity to itself because... they have people turning on each other because of the Beast. Like at one point, this author shows up and he's basically trying to cut a deal, and then he's going to fuck everybody over. And the length some people will go to get the money that would be involved with exposing the whole thing or writing more of it, and then the women who are like sexually enslaved by the Beast because they like Beast cock or whatever the fuck it is. They actually go into graphic detail about that. That you know, it's like you know, ugh.
Looks
but
like he's actually. Actually, you can get the Cellar, which is the Beast House Chronicles Book 1.
Yeah.
You can actually get that on an audio edition. There's a couple of them. You can even get audio versions of them.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I don't know if I could sit there having somebody read something to me. I don't know. That'd be weird.
Like a kid again.
Yeah, I know.
Bedtime story.
Yeah, and he threw the severed head against the wall when it hit with a splat, and the brains oozed out her mouth. Nighty-night, Johnny. Oh, God.
Yeah, and they've got him listed with Ketchum as a recommendation. Yeah. If you like this author, try this author. So.
Yeah. Oh, Jack's good. I love Jack's stuff.
Might have to pick up a couple of those for a heck of a penny.
Yeah, what was the shipping, $3.50?
I wouldn't even say that. I'd probably say probably $2, I would imagine.
Yeah.
It couldn't be that much. I'll just pull one at random and see what it is. Like I said, there's one for a penny, 74 offers, which means, I mean...
I could go for less than a fucking penny.
It says acceptable, good, very good for a penny. Looks like shipping ranges... Yeah, it's $3.99 shipping and handling. So
yeah big fucking deal. Like I can drive up the street and buy the fucking thing.
Right.
Amazon sucks anyway. Everybody knows my opinion on them. Those fucking cocksucking judgmental bastards. Oh, you should tell us who else is selling the pornography. I'm not going to tell you fucking people shit. You suspend me. Blow.
Yeah.
You're making me starve. I'll be living in the gutter by the time Obamacare passes. Fuck.
Get out. Quit it.
Yep.
Stop.
Oh, you got dog problems too?
Yeah, I got a puppy trying to drink my Strongbow.
Mm. What's drink Strongbow? Something.
It's a hard apple cider from England.
Okay. I'm not drinking nothing tonight. I'm just smoking weed. At least my head don't hurt that way.
Yeah, I got a two-month-old puppy somebody dropped off on my mom and dad's step a week ago Tuesday. So, needless to say, I was the first one to see the picture of it at 4 o'clock in the morning and couldn't say no. So, I have a third dog now.
Yeah, I'm starting to learn how to say no real quick. I got three animals. That's enough.
Get out. Quit it. Shithead. Get up here.
What are they, beagles?
Oh, yeah. All of them.
Don't they yap a lot?
You just hit them hard enough and they quit yapping.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they yap, but not bad.
That'll cost us some listeners. Oh, they're beginning up animals.
Nah, they usually yelp one another when they're playing, but other than that, they're pretty quiet.
Yeah.
They play in about 5-minute spurts and then wear out.
She goes in this whole fucking complete weird end run all through the yard where I got furrows in my lawn now because I can actually put flagstones in there as a path because she's wore it down that much.
Yeah.
Running they, back and forth.
They do that too. They'll follow the same path. Every time they go outside, they won't veer from that path at all.
Yeah, they're fun. Jim, what else can we talk about? I don't know.
I don't know if anything else has come down the pike this week or not. Everything's been kind of slow because of the holiday.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, that's why I say we were all psyched up for last week to break balls, but you know, unfortunately, we didn't have to because they were broken for us. So. Strange. Oh, well, you know, I don't know if you know, Wasteland's going to have Slumber Party Massacre reunion and Just Before Dawn reunion.
I know it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And, I just ordered me a Just Before Dawn t-shirt today. So pretty, I had to have it.
Oh, Jeff will sign it in magic marker and fuck it all up. Yeah. Charge it 20.
Is he still on the big health kick? Last time he was up there, he was like, running 23 miles in the morning before the convention even opened and on this big anti-smoking campaign. Everybody was outside smoking cigarettes and stuff. It was pretty funny.
Okay. Now, you know, now I know I can't outrun him if something happens. Thanks for telling me that. Yeah. Well, he's one of these guys, you know, the whole deal. You were at the panel. He's like, he hates 42nd Street as it was, where I didn't, you know, but then again, he was probably a very small guy back then and probably, you know, was easily intimidated by assholes where I would basically be one of the assholes intimidating people. So that could have been it. But no, hey, Jeff's a good guy. Made some good movies. What the fuck?
Made some great movies.
Yeah. I love Squirm.
Squirm.
There's another jerk-off move with their... did Shout Factory get all that stuff too?
I don't know what Shout Factory got. I know they was releasing some really weird shit there towards the end. I mean, it was just, I don't know. They must have been running some type of a feedback form or something somewhere I was unaware of because they've come out with some titles there towards the end. I was just shaking my head at it. I was like, well, it's cool, but there's a lot of other shit that a lot of people would rather have than, you know, what they're getting. They must have got it for dirt cheap, you know.
No, I had heard it was, like, I was trying to get in on this, and everybody was like, you know, I wasn't getting the right information, but I think they had an auction with a whole bunch of MGM properties, and there was a lot of AIP stuff involved and things like that, because all that price stuff went to this Olive releasing now.
Right.
So, you know, it's bouncing around, but I got a funny feeling that they might have caught a deal on a bunch of obscure shit, you know, nobody else wanted, but you know, I'm seeing stuff that, like, okay, they're putting out From Beyond. They already put that out. Paramount put it out, or somebody put it out. I got it.
Right. Well, they put it out on DVD. They're putting it out on Blu-ray. You know.
Okay.
Well, and they got Nest. They got The Video Dead. They just announced that one.
Right, but I mean, they've got. I just put back. Let's see who they got. let's see, December 11th is going to be the Island and Death Valley, which either
which,
one of
which
those,
island is it? Is it the fucking Island with Michael Caine?
Yeah, the one that's not even a horror film.
I know, that's a great fucking movie, though.
It's a pirate movie, ain't it? Something about the pirates.
I like it. It's pretty fucked up, you know?
And then Deadly Blessing and is on the 22nd of January. The Nest, Prison, and then they did a Terror Vision / Video Dead double feature. It's going to be the two movies on one disc on the 19th of February. Then in March has got From Beyond and Phantasm 2 on sometime in March. And then there's To Be Determined, including The Vampire Lovers, Town That Dreaded Sundown, The Evictors, The Incredible Melting Man, X-Ray, which is also Horror or Hospital Massacre, Schizoid, The Godsend, Scanners 2, Scanners 3, The Horror Show, and then The Vagrant, The Fog, The Howling, Life Force, Night of the Comet, The Burning, and Day of the Dead, which are all, I don't know why they got Day of the Dead, because they just released their, Anchor Bay did that.
Yeah,
unless they're right. Unless they're going to do a ton of
the
extra.
30th anniversary's coming up, maybe that's
well,
right.
Hopefully you mentioned The Nest in there, because that one is, I'm looking forward to that on Blu-ray really a bunch. I thought The Nest was one of those great movies that kind of got buried.
Yeah.
They had to get this shit at that fucking at that deal, because that's all the MGM stuff that never got released, a lot of it, and some of it that did get released, because it was all in that library.
Right.
So somebody had to make some kind of a deal. It's just, you know, how much of this stuff can you put out, you know, and still turn a profit, you know?
Right. Well, and the thing about it is there's no real steady format on how they're doing it, because, like, with the Halloween 2, Halloween 3, They Live, and the Funhouse, and the Terror Train, they released those separately on DVD and or Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But then on some of the other stuff coming down the pipe, they're releasing it both on Blu-ray and DVD in the same package.
Yeah.
Which is confusing, because, I mean, if you're a collector, I would just soon have both formats in the same package and call it done, rather than have to buy two separate, you know, formats. And then some stuff, they're only releasing on Blu-ray and not on DVD, and some stuff they're releasing on DVD and not on Blu-ray. So it's just a weird format how they've got it all set up. But then again, you know, looks like a majority of that stuff's going to be released later next year. So, I mean, hell, that can all change between now and then anyway. So
yeah,
I'm just, you know. But the artwork, I think, honestly, my personal opinion, I think what's happened is I think somebody at Scream Factory has either bought a lot of the Arrow video stuff or has looked at a lot of the Arrow video stuff, because there seems to me like formatting a lot around that. It, you know, like if you order it directly from the website, if you pre-order it, you get a free poster, just like you get the free poster with the Arrow stuff. And then they're also giving you, you know, the four or reversible covers, you know, if you get the two cover and then you get the different original poster on the further side. So it's kind of odd. I think they're trying to hit that market that Arrow's, I think, kind of gotten into a little bit.
Yes.
But who knows? That's just my thoughts. But
yeah, I hear Arrow's got some good stuff, but I'm not replacing shit I already got because, you know, this and that and the other thing. It just comes down to that.
And I still haven't figured out the process of people releasing stuff. I mean, you know, they must just have a list of shit that they'd like to do, and whatever they can get a hold of, they release. Because I know Arrow's got stuff that I would have never have thought that they would have released in a million years. You know, but that's why I try to pick it up, you know, as cheaply as possible, because a lot of that stuff's pretty pricey when you start getting it from import places. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
I think the last import I bought was that La Seta or whatever it was, the sect. I spent like 25 or 30 for it.
So. Beating those with bats, oh no. So. Out of hell. Did you watch the sect?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I got so much shit. I'm still reeling on my animals run amok movies. I've watched. I just got in all my Anaconda. I thought I had all the Anaconda movies, but I think I had like the third one. I didn't even have the first Anaconda, and I'm like, how in the hell did I miss not having that? So
it's priceless. The first one with John Voight does the Ricky Ricardo impersonation. It's wonderful.
Right.
I loved it.
But just goofy shit like that. I mean, I went back and I watched Squirm, and went back and I watched Food of the Gods, and then of course I had to watch Killer Crocodile 2 and all that other stuff. So
yeah,
I'm slowly getting to it. I got a couple weeks of layoff coming, so I'm hopefully be catching up on a lot of this stuff. So
Black Water is gonna fucking blow your mind.
I just got that today.
Yeah, I know. I commented on that. That's gonna blow your mind. It's pretty good.
I picked up that Venomous that Fred Olenray did too. I'm always up for big crazy CGI snake movies.
Oh, it's even more fun because if you look at them real close, some of them are obvious like rubber snakes that aren't even moving. They're just like curled up there. Watch the attack scenes when they're coming over them, because you'll see live ones actually in with the rubber ones. Yeah.
So. Kind
of brain fart. He was just up at Wasteland at last show.
Yeah, I know. I met him. I didn't really meet him. I said hey to him a long time. I think it was at Crystal City, Virginia, at one of the horror finds or something. And I should have taken more time, you know, to talk to him. But, you know, again, I was there, had my mind on something else. And yeah. I kicked myself in the ass for not spending him because he's fucking awesome. I just love that guy. So,
oh, he's great.
His movies are so great. And his son's doing movies now too. I guess he's done a couple of movies with the Asylum that are actually pretty decent. So,
yeah, he was up too. He was up with.
Was he both up there?
Yeah. I think his daughter was there too. They were behind me most of the weekend. You know, he had the Flesh Eaters because he was the original. You know, they originally had that and already had everything done, and they sort of fucked him on it. But right. He had a couple of copies. I bought one off him, and he bought a couple of things off me. So we were cool. Yeah.
The Flesh Eaters was the one where they went into the water.
Yeah.
Okay. And the little sparkly things. I think I've got that.
Dark Sky put it out, but Dark Sky took the Nazi stuff out and used it as an extra. He left it in.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I got it. And it is a commentary with, I think, Arnold Drake, too.
Not really.
He's about the only one left alive from the whole thing. I mean, Radley Metzger's still alive, and I think the guy who played the Beatnik's still alive.
Right.
But everybody else is gone. So, yeah, that was good shit. That was you know, that the one the scene when you can see the guy like tied to the raft, and you see the hole in him, and you see the waves in the background and shit. Then you see it in Cannibal Apocalypse when they blow up. Margaretti's chest cavity out in the fucking sewer, and they pan through the thing. And you see the soldiers running in the back. We're the first guys to use it. I mean, you know, that was the first time. Really, there was a lot of firsts in that thing, and people sort of overlooked that was like completely bloody and gory before its time. It was like right around the time of Blood Feast.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of movies like that.
Yeah, there was The Terror Creatures from Beyond the Grave. There was like a neat disemboweling in that. That was back in the 60s. Great stuff.
Terror Creature. I think you can get that on Alpha Video, can't you?
Yeah. They got a. I don't know if the Alpha one. You know, the running time they had on it was 60 minutes, but I got it off of Sinister. And the prints, it's widescreen, and it's a lot clearer.
Is it?
Yeah. It ain't a bad movie.
No, it's not bad.
Yeah. That was my first Eurotrash double feature when I was a kid. Bloody Pit of Horror and Terror Creatures from the Grave.
What was the, the one I like, the black and white Eurotrash one I like is, it's not The Embalmer. It's the guy, the skeleton guy that's in the catacombs or whatever, run around. It's called The Embalmer on Alpha
Video. Oh, Monster of Venice?
Yeah, that's it. That and the, what was the other one? Oh, shit, there's two of them that's always back-to-back. I can't remember. It's not Bloody Pit of Horror. It was something else, kind of like that.
Yeah.
What was the one that had the cloak guys in it where they kidnap people that were found innocent and they retry them down in the cellar with the black and the white marbles?
Oh, the Mad Executioners?
That's it.
Yeah, the German.
Oh, no. Yeah. That was pretty good. I always liked that.
Yeah, you know, that Paramount put that out. And I can't remember what was playing with it. There was something with it.
But
I remember
But Olin Fred put that out on Retro Media, didn't he? The Mad Executioners? That's what I got it from.
He might have. I don't know. I think I got mine from Sinister, too, because he had all that German West German stuff. Fred had one. I'm trying to think. I think it's too German, the Blood Orchid or something like that. Fuck, I can't remember what the hell they were. One of them's got Kinski in it. One of them's got Christopher Lee in it. Because Christopher Lee did a lot of them fuckers, too.
Yeah.
He was bouncing around, you know.
That was when he did the Mad Judge and all that, wasn't it?
No, this was all 60s stuff. That might have been 70s. I'm not sure, because he was doing a lot of, you know, they were doing a lot of that Spanish, West German, Italian co-productions things, because... Like Circus of Fear, that was, you know, British, West German, you know, whatever. And that had Kinski and Eddie Arndt and
Didn't Synapse release the Circus and any release that, or the Bloody Judge? Wasn't it the Bloody Judge?
No, it's Blue Underground that it, the Bloody Judge.
But they released that, the Circus of Fear and all those together, didn't they, in a box set?
Yeah, the Christopher Lee box set, the two Fu Manchu movies that Franco directed.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a busy boy back in the day.
He's still busy. Fuck, he's about...
Was he 90?
Yeah, he's getting up there.
Yeah, he's the only one of the, you know, the original legends left.
Yep. He was looking pretty fragile when we seen him at... it was at Horror... I think it was Horror Find. It was him, Ingrid Pitt, Michael Ripper... And somebody else, one of the other girls from the Hammer movies were all there.
Veronica Carlson?
That's it. Yeah. And it was, I think they said it was the first time, this was in the 90s, and they said it was the first time that Michael Ripper and Christopher Lee had been in the same room in like 30-some years. Yeah. And, I mean, they just, you know, and then, unfortunately, Michael died, you know, not too long after that, because, I mean, he was, I don't even know... how they even managed to get him out of England, because I mean he was pretty catatonic when he was there. I mean he had pre autographed pictures in his hotel room that night before, and was just, you just went up and, you know, got the picture and it was already, he didn't even personalize it or anything, and his handwriting was just horrible. I mean, it just looked like chicken scratches. So it was pretty depressing, really. I mean,
yeah, you hate to remember people like that. They did the same thing with Soupy Sales. I mean, I walked up and it was like they had to put the pen in his hand and push it and shit. I'm like, nah, I should have never done this. Don't want to remember a guy like that. Well, that Mako was at one of the Chillers one time, and he died right after that. I didn't think he was that old.
Right.
Yeah, you never fucking know. Never know. But yeah, that's, you know, Lee's the only one left from that whole era. I'm just amazed he's lasted this long. Right. I mean, I know Cushing worked up until almost the day he died, too.
Right. Well, was it the other day I was watching, yesterday, I think it was, I was watching something that had John Carradine in it. And his hands, I mean, were just atrocious. I mean,
arthritis.
All gnarled up. And I mean, he looked at any moment, he would just fall over, and I'm like, why? I mean, he just, you know, it was just bad.
You know, the killer part, the thing was, he was in some place in Italy, and he wanted to walk to the top of the bell tower, and that's what basically killed him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He wasn't slowing down for nothing. I mean, Fred Olin Ray had old footage of him he was using for years, and Ted Michaels did Astro Zombies 2 with a big plastic Carradine head.
Right.
Yeah.
In Death Ship, I mean, you look at his hands in Death Ship, and I mean, it just looks like a meat lump. I mean, they're all just gnarled up. You're like, fuck, how in the hell can you not just be crying from that pain?
Yeah. sometimes you don't feel it, you know, unless you're moving it.
Right.
I found out the best thing with arthritis is you got to keep moving shit. So, I don't know. Better than taking fucking anti-inflammatories and watch your fucking livers fall out. Because that's what happens. How are we doing on time, Spanky?
Say it again.
I said, how are we doing on time?
You got about 3 minutes.
Wow. I guess we should wrap it up. Well, I guess it'll do it for this Saturday. You know, hopefully we'll have some other cool stuff going on down the road here. Griff, what are you going to off the air for a while? What are you doing?
I think I'm going to come in. I'm going to try probably do two or three shows before Christmas. I don't think we're going to have a new show for Christmas. I might probably come in and do a Christmas episode where I'll go in and talk about maybe some of the Christmas themed horror films and stuff. Maybe get a hold of you or something for that. Since see if I can get
if you want people. Me to sit in for Tim, I'll gladly sit in for Tim.
Yeah. I might announce maybe an open night. People want to call in and bullshit about movies or something. So. I got to try to get some stuff planned. I want to definitely do a couple of new shows. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm trying to get some new guests on, too. You know, talk to Gary. I might have a special announcement in a week or so, too, regarding some other stuff. So we'll keep you posted. So until then, happy Thanksgiving. Stay sick, and we'll catch you next week.
Dominate your dreams. They're all yours right here in the Grindhouse.
So grab your